Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and have had a lovely weekend in the sunshine. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 3rd of August. Coming up today, water repairs following disruption in Tunbridge.
Good news, the water is back.
Anger as residents forced to move out of a new tower block in Maidstone.
If I was a resident there and had to pay a management fee for a building I'm not living in, I think I would be very, very unhappy.
And in cricket, Cairns have made it back-to-back wins in the One Day Cup after beating Notts Outlaws.
I thought we set it up beautifully with the bat, and the bowlers did brilliantly to restrict them to under 300. Looked like they were going to get 320 at a period.
All of that and plenty more news coming up for you today. But first, let's take a look at our top story for today. A hearing has been told a Medway teenager died after falling onto the live line of a railway following a weekend of partying with friends. There have been tributes to 18-year-old Charlie Hearn Kingsford, who died at Strood Railway Station in March. Now, Lucy's been following this story for us, and she joins me now with some more detail. First of all, Luce, what do we know about what happened the day Charlie died?
Well, an inquest held last month into the 18-year-old's death heard he'd been at a rave in London with his friends and was on his way back home. He got off the train at Strood Railway Station in Canal Road just before 4pm and was seen walking along the platform towards the exit before he fell onto the live line. Witnesses said he appeared unsteady on his feet and wasn't being chased or pressured before the fall. Emergency services were called, but sadly he died at the scene.
And the coroner has ruled the death as an accident.
That's right. A toxicology report revealed 18-year-old Charlie had a substantial amount of alcohol in his system at the time of his death, and his cause of death was listed as electrocution on a live rail.
Now, there's been a huge number of tributes for Charlie. How's he being remembered?
Well, Charlie, who lived in Walderslade, is being remembered as a real character who was charming and someone who touched the lives of so many people. He was born with a rare genetic disorder, which caused slow growth, but his family and friends say he never let it slow him down. Just hours before his death, Charlie had messaged his mum to say he was having the weekend of his life. She says he was a big part of their family, and her goal in life is to continue to make him proud.
Thanks, Lucy. You can read the full story by heading to the homepage of Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
Elsewhere today, an Ashford woman who was filmed putting her partner in a chokehold and lunging at him with a knife has avoided going to prison. A court was told Jennifer Jamieson was violent and made threats over a six-month period during their volatile relationship. The 28-year-old, who now lives at Church Road in Swanscombe, was given a suspended sentence in order to do 100 hours of unpaid work. Police are investigating an attempted burglary in Staplehurst after a woman woke up to find three masked suspects outside her home. They were captured on CCTV near Marden Road on Saturday night and ran off when the homeowner shouted at them. You can see pictures in the story on our website. Repairs have now been completed following a burst main which left thousands of homes in Tunbridge without water. Disruption started on Saturday, and South East Water say they're now slowly restoring supplies. Bottled water stations remain open for those who need it. Tunbridge MP Tom Tugendhat has shared an update on Instagram.
Good news, the water is back. Now here, the works at Shibben Road are done. It all finished at about 2 a.m, repressurizing, and the crew left at about 4 a.m. So I'm really, really grateful to all those who worked quite literally 24 hours a day for the last 2 days. So they have been amazing. Now, the water's back on, the road's clearly not open. Kent Highways are here. I've just been speaking to them. There's a lot of damage to the road. That's not going to surprise you, but there's a huge amount of damage to the road. It's going to take days. How many? Don't yet know, because they haven't yet had the time to have a look at it. But I'll be getting an update later this morning, and I'll let you know. So for the moment, please avoid Shibben Road, but at least the water's back.
Kent Online News.
A shoplifter who tried to headbutt a security guard who recognised him as a known thief has avoided prison. Roma Stevens stole from Sainsbury's, Tesco and Asda stores in Folkestone over a 10-day period earlier this month. The 47-year-old, who hasn't got a permanent address, was given a suspended jail term in order to do rehab sessions. The Prime Minister has been visiting Kent and is vowing to be relentless in tackling small boat crossings. More than 2,000 asylum seekers have made the journey since Andy Burnham came to power, but he says overall numbers are down by 50% this year compared with the same period in 2025. He's meeting with border security teams in Dover and says enforcement work has been ramped up this summer. Now, there's anger among residents who've been forced to move out of a tower block in Maidstone after they were told to pay service charges. No one can stay in Miller Heights right now after an electrical fault in the basement led to fire safety fears. Some who have spent thousands on alternative accommodation have now been told to continue with regular payments. Nicola's been speaking to Maidstone Council leader Stuart Jeffrey.
So the council's been keeping in close conversation with the letting agent and other agencies since this started a few months ago. And we are doing all we can to help, you know, facilitate the situation being rectified. But the responsibility for that does sit with Centric ultimately as the people who manage the building. So we are aware that there is some concern about the letting fee, and rightly so. I mean, if I was a resident there and had to pay a management fee for a building I'm not living in, I think I would be very, very unhappy. Unfortunately, the council can't intervene on that. There are legal agreements, but I really do feel sorry for those people who are still having to pay out fees for something they can't use.
I think someone had got in touch with us, and I mean, we're talking hundreds of pounds as well. I mean, what sort of advice can you give them? Is there anywhere where they can go to get some support and advice on these sorts of things?
My suggestion is people go to Citizens Advice Bureau. They are the experts in this kind of matter. It's not something that the council will be able to assist with specifically, although we do obviously have been advising. I think we've spoken to about half of the residents in the building over the last few months. So we are able to give some advice, but in this particular case, my suggestion is talk to the CAB, and they have been helping us widely with the issues that residents have faced.
And how are the residents at the moment, Stuart? It must be a very uncertain time still for them. I mean, they've been given, I guess, a kind of expected date as to when they could go back. But I mean, some are living in like travel lodges or premier inns, aren't they? They're essentially having to live in hotels with the possessions that they were able to take with them.
Yeah, the residents are furious, and I absolutely understand why they're furious, and they, you know, this is an appalling situation. And yes, some people are living with relatives or in hotels and so forth. Others have managed to give up their leases and have found somewhere new to live. But it's been utterly disruptive for all the people there, and my heart goes out to them.
Centric say payment is essential to keep the building properly managed.
Kent Online News.
A merger between Greenwich and Kent unis to create a so-called super university has been completed. Their four campuses will now be run by a new group, which is the first of its kind in the country, but will keep their own names. A ceremony to mark the merger will take place next month, a year after the plans were first announced. Plans for a housing development on a former gasworks in Folkestone have been reduced in size for a second time. The council bought the land on Ship Street in 2021 and initially wanted to build 150 homes there. It was then scaled back to 135. It has been cut again to 90. A decision on outline plans should be made in November. There are calls for local bosses in Swale to invest more in seafront parking to make it worth paying £15 a night. It's been a year since council introduced charges on the Shingle Bank Beach in Marine Parade in Minster on Sheppey. Previously, you could park there for free, but the fee was brought in after residents complained about vehicles and caravans staying for weeks on end. Visitors now say they expect more for their £15 per night stay. Alicia and Jed Irvine have been travelling around France in a camper van and have returned to visit family.
It's quite sad, really, because for us, we've just got our new camper van and we've been travelling around France and using all the facilities that they offer for us. There's like park and ride places that you can find, and sometimes you have to pay a small fee, but then you get electric hookup and you can get rid of your grey water and your toilet cassette and all of that, so you don't mind. But here, I was just so surprised, there isn't anything. You can't get fresh water, you can't empty anything, any waters. You have to go off and try to find for us, it's a family member who we have to put the hose to his water to fill us up. We have to get rid of the toilet cassette down the toilet drain system thing, what do you call it?
It just makes life really difficult.
Just makes it really difficult.
Yeah.
So we pay, we can't believe it, £15 for one sleep here, one day, 24 hours, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
We pay the 15 for nothing, well, apart from the most beautiful view.
Lovely
but we have to keep going on and off to do what we need to do with the camper. And it's not easy, and you're restricted to just this part because of the size of the particular camper. You can't go down that end.
Can't go to the other end of the beach because of the concrete blocks.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're paying the same as everyone else, but we're restricted to this end, which is probably about 60 or 70 metres. And you can't always park up here.
So what we try and do is not use so much water. Try our best, don't we? Try and use the toilets right down the end because these toilets are closed, which we thought would be open. So we try and use them all to restrict the amount of time that we have to come off. So because we're here for 6 weeks, because we like to come and see our family and friends as much as we can, we worked it out. It's near on, it's in total about it'd be 700 or something, because we're here
in parking fees.
In parking fees, because we're here for 6.5 weeks. So that's a lot of money that we just wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and compare that to amenities you might get in France or the places that you've stayed.
Well, France is totally different. There's so many places to park a camping car that are they've been built for camping cars. And you've got water, you've got your grey water emptying, you've got your toilet cassette emptying.
It's so easy and smooth.
And a lot of them, probably at least half of them, are free. The ones nearer the coast, you might have to pay a little bit, like maybe 6-7 euros, 8 euros for a night. But you've got everything laid on for you, fresh water and all the other facilities.
And they often have like a thank you to the mairie, the mayor, like the council.
Yeah.
Because every department in France has got its own mairie.
Thing is, if you imagine this beach full of camping cars, they've all got money that they want to spend. They want to spend it locally. So, you know, the Tesco's or whatever, or at the coffee shop or the player.
Mm.
You know, there's all people like to eat out, and it brings money to the swell, I suppose.
Yeah.
Do you think this is a bit of an asset that isn't being fully utilised?
Totally.
Do you think there should maybe be a few more facilities and build round it?
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, you've got massive areas over there that are car parks, which I don't think I've ever seen anyone parked in them over the road. I mean, that could be your water facilities, you know, your unloading facilities for camping cars. You know, it could be so much different with a bit of forward thinking and a bit of planning, you know.
Yeah,
and it would attract people to the swell, and people will spend money here. You know.
Yeah. Council has been contacted for a comment.
Kent Online News.
A former care home in Kent that was closed following a poor inspection and financial problems could be turned into a housing estate. The Springs in St Mary's Bay on Romney Marsh has been empty since 2015. Developers now want to turn the derelict site into 29 homes, which would include refurbishing the main building into 12 flats. A decision should be made by October. A former Oast House in Canterbury could be turned into a community hub with a cafe, kitchen and youth club. The Grade Two listed building on Gas Street has fallen into disrepair and been targeted by vandals. The owner of Chatterbox Cafe in nearby Castle Street has revealed plans to revive it. Bosses at the City Council will make a decision. An Amber Heat Health Alert is in force across Kent as temperatures soar again. It's expected to be around 30 degrees today and tomorrow. We're being urged to keep an eye on those who are more vulnerable, including young children and the elderly. The Amber Alert lasts until 9 a.m. on Wednesday. And public toilets near a village green in Kent to back open after being refurbished following a battle by residents to save them. A protest was staged in Mepham after plans to demolish the facility was revealed last year. Now £50,000 has been spent on bringing them up to modern standards. Jonathan McNamara is chairman of Mepham Parish Council. He thinks it's money well spent.
It's been quite a slow process to get it open again. I mean, it's taken about 11 months from us saying let's go and do this to actually getting them open again. But We all felt on the council, no, we didn't all feel, I felt on the council that we have to have a public toilet. This area is always busy at the weekend. It's used by delivery drivers, it's used by Duke of York's people, it's used by hikers who go around here. So we really felt that there needed to be a public amenity local businesses weren't happy with people with muddy boots tramping upstairs to use their toilets. So for the businesses and because of the residents. And like I say, the poll that they had, everybody could say, oh, it was only 700 people. That roughly represents 10%. But as I say, I look at it as like a whiskers poll. You know, 99% of people who selected a preference wanted them open. So that was good enough for me. And I actually joined the council for two reasons. One is to get more involved with the large planning developments that are going on in the area. And secondly, to get these toilets opened again. That was one of the things I wanted to do. I felt quite important for me. I just, you know, if kids are playing on the green and they want to go to the toilet, they need somewhere to go. I'm sorry.
And just talk me through how well used they've been. I know it's only been only a month, and I'm guessing you haven't had like a footfall count or anything like that. But how well used are they? How well do you see them used, I guess?
Well, certainly at weekends I see quite a lot of people going in. We are going to put a footfall counter into the toilets at some point, but there's been a lot of issues getting that sorted. So just so we can keep check and see what the flow is like. So I would say it's been good use, but you know, it's summer right now and you get literally hundreds of people on the green and not all of them can use the pavilion toilet, and it's only a single toilet anyway, so they need this facility. And you know, if we run events eventually here, we want this as well, so that it's for the people. So I think it's a worthwhile thing.
Kent Online Sports.
Cricket Now and Kent have made it back-to-back wins in the One Day Cup after beating Notts Outlaws. The Spitfires reached their victory target of 294 with four balls to spare after a professional run chase at Beckenham. Kent wicketkeeper Chris Benjamin spoke to our sports editor Matt Panting after the match.
Yeah, it was quite a bit of work to do at the end, but no. I thought we set it up beautifully with the bat, and the bowlers did brilliantly to restrict them to under 300. Looked like they were going to get 320 at a period. They had a couple of good partnerships, and then we brought it back at the end. Very chuffed to finish it off. Grant gave me a little helping hand with his sixth and the seventh last ball. So, no, it was a great win.
Yeah, I mean, with their batting as well, I mean, the last 10 overs, you did drag it back because they were well placed, weren't they, to get a few?
Yeah, I thought they were brilliantly placed. I'm sure probably in hindsight they will feel they could have kicked on a little bit earlier, but then ultimately they kept losing wickets, and that's always the tough thing in 50 over cricket is when you keep losing wickets to still score at 8, 9s, it's very difficult. So bowlers did a great job.
And four wickets for Rick Hansh at the end, including two of the last two balls.
Yeah, great day for him. Everyone chirping him. I know Parky always gets a bit frustrated. The seamers seem to get a few easy wickets at the end and he does all the hard work. But no, great day for Ekanch again.
And then the key in the chase, was it not to lose early wickets?
Yeah, I think so. I think Deeb's got us off to a great start. What were we, 50-odd out the power play? So that set us up very well. And then Sam and Finchie got into their work, had a fantastic partnership. And then just after drinks, they really sort of kicked on. I think there was a period of five overs. We scored 50 runs sort of between 27 and 32, which really got momentum on our side. We didn't want to leave too much work at the end, just how the ball can go a bit softer with how dry it is. Good win.
It follows Friday's victory over Somerset. And if you missed the results over the weekend, Gillingham have won their final pre-season friendly. They beat Ebbsfleet United 2-1 away from home on Friday night. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.